Any visitors here this morning, I'd like to welcome each one of you for being in our service. Always a blessing to see new faces. Not that there's anything wrong with the old faces, but we'd like to see some fresh ones every once in a while, and want to thank you for being here. Please give a hand to those that are visiting with us this morning. Always a blessing to be home. Somebody asked me, said, did you get to see your kids? I don't remember seeing my kids. All I saw was a grandbaby. Did we see our kids, Holly? So had a great time being able to spoil her rotten. I told somebody I already bought her a car, gave her a credit card, and I'm going to get her a cell phone next week. So, but we're happy to be back home. No place like home. Amen. And we have some exciting news for our church family, not our family, but for our church family. And that is that Jeremy and Lauren are expecting twin girls. Please give them a hand. And Cam and Eileen had their little baby over Christmas, so it's a lot going on around here. This is exciting news. Now, visitors, don't let that scare you off, okay? It's not in the water, I'll tell you that up front. Don't worry about drinking the water. But we always enjoy those little babies coming, and so excited. I think we've got three or four other ladies that are pregnant and expecting, and what a blessing. Amen. Love to hear the cries of those newborn babies. And they speak their own little language. Everly started this. She's real intrigued by that she can do that. Of course, she spits everywhere. And she got up the other morning, and Tara handed her to me, and I'm sitting there. I said, did you sleep good? She went, I think that was a yes. But always a blessing to be home. Hope you had a great Christmas. How many of you got everything you wanted? Two or three of you, all right? Wow. I don't think I made it off the naughty list, but I did get a couple things. But exciting times. Looking forward to the new year. I want to ask you to take your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 6. And just being reminded, January 1, 2020. Can you imagine? I thought I'd never live past 50. Getting ready to trip 64, Nick, I think. Yeah, 64. You'd think I'd keep up with it better knowing I can get that Social Security pretty soon. So God's given us a brand new year, and the challenge very plainly has come to my heart, and I'm sure it has to yours. Just looking at my life, who I am, what I am. I didn't measure up, didn't meet all the expectations and demands that I put upon myself. I kind of get burnt out on New Year's resolutions. Aren't they a farce? We start out good and mess up two or three weeks into it, and then we get depressed, and then we get aggravated, and then we get fed up with ourselves. Am I the only one that goes through that? Okay. I mean, I'm thankful I can get my suit coat buttoned this morning. That's a blessing, but we're going to work on that for the new year. But the important thing, especially for those that know the Lord, and these are some turbulent times we were talking about it. One of our men was praying this morning in our 9 o'clock prayer meeting. God, here we are. We are living in such a violent day and age and so much conflict and unrest. And that's so true. One guy shot at McDonald's in Lynchburg, and right across the street, just hours within that, somebody stabbed somebody else in a restaurant. And, it's a sad day. And I'm sure that you have times just like I do where you want to just say, hey, phooey on it. Just quit. Just shuck it all. Let it go. Well, what's the sense of being so committed? What's the sense of just, continuing to go through the motions and do the things and make the decisions and make the effort? Why don't you just quit? How many of you remember the guy that quit? Nobody else does either. Now, some of you will figure that out later. But it's easy to quit, but what do you really benefit from that? It's easy to throw in the towel, but there are always consequences because of that. And sometimes is it, you know, easier to throw in the towel and just say, hey, you know, I'll suffer the consequences down the road, but yet we don't really see the consequences and understand the full effect of what we're going to be experiencing in life. Somebody said 97% of people who quit too soon are employed by the 3% that didn't quit. Harry Beecher Stowe said, never give up, for that is just the place and time that the tide might turn. I've often said to people that when the battle is so intense that all you want to do is quit and give in, you could be on the brink, friends, of turning the curve, coming around and walking into some great victory. How many of you came into 2020 with a very bleak outlook? How many of you this morning are excited about a brand new year, or some of you are sitting here saying, oh my word, another one? It's so easy to get caught up in that. And I was reminded this week of how I need to make sure and understand that dreams never die, just the dreamer. Life's going to come to an end for all of us in this room sooner or later. Whether by death or rapture, we're going out of here. And the important thing, and I think it's important for you and I to dream dreams. What does your bucket list look like? Where is the places that you want to go? What are the things that you want to accomplish? But yet we look at a brand new year thinking, oh my gracious, here we go again. We're going to talk about fainting. The three verses here in Galatians, the scripture says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Listen to this verse. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. And look at those last words. If we faint not. How many people are on the verge of fainting? Now, you come in this morning, you got a nice smile on your face, you present yourself in such a lovely way, I'm impressed. But what's going on here? How many of you in this room are crashing and burning? How many of you are ready to quit on your marriage? Quit on your job? Quit on life? Ready to throw in the towel? Because you've had it up to here. You've already determined in your mind that 2020 is not going to be a good year. Because things are looking so bleak. You've already determined in your heart, I can't do it. I can't take any more. I'm not doing this for another year. You've already crossed over in your heart. No. No. What are the reasons for fainting? And these are just a few. Number one, constant friction and pressure. How many of you in this room are under pressure constantly? I don't have to see your hands because I know that 99.99% of you are, even those of you that are retired. Somebody said, you just change hats when you retire. You just don't have to drive to work. You are at work. There's constant friction and pressure. There's always that rub. Don't you get tired of it? Don't you get tired of that sandpaper of life always rubbing against you? And you have to deal with it day in and day out. You get out of bed and there it is. You go to bed and there it is. And it's just on all day long. Number two, ungratefulness of people. Oh, boy. How many of you are still seething from Christmas because I sacrificed a great amount of money to give so-and-so the gift that they really wanted, and all they said was, thank you. Like, thank you's not enough. Some of you looking like, you're right on, preacher.
I slaved over that meal and nobody said anything. I even had to wash the dishes. We converted this year to using paper plates. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I said, can we throw the cups away too? No, no. having a sense of hopelessness. How many of you cry yourself to sleep? How many of you are going to be crying yourself to sleep next month when all the Christmas bills come in? I didn't spend that much. Somebody got my card and put all these charges on here. I didn't do that. How about this? You've already determined in your mind things will never change. When I spoke a prayer just a few moments ago, some of you are like, I don't know. See, so many times we go to the place of prayer. Really, what we're trying to do is manipulate God. Now, God will always answer prayer, and it'll be yes, no, or wait. And I hate waiting. How many of you hate waiting? I don't have any patience. But I'm surely not going to ask to learn some patience. I learned a long time ago, just take what I got and move on. Don't fuss too much. But hey, we got to understand that there are just some things in life that are just going to be there. And that there are some things that are not going to change. I will never have hair. Do I fuss over it? Nope. That's why I cut all of this off. I enjoy it. I really don't care how it looks because I don't have to look at it. I look at it in the morning. I wash face, head, everything, one swipe. I'm free. Things are not going to change. Some things in life, they're just going to be that way. Well, if I had a different mother, sorry, you got what you got. Well, it would be different if she were different or he were different. Well, you know what? Prayer can change people. Don't look at every situation in a sense of hopelessness, but that's where we are many times, and that's many times why we want to quit, because we just cave into the fact that it's never going to be any different. What about exhaustion and confusion because of overloaded schedules? Woo. Wow. What's your schedule like? I was going to ask you, what does your daytimer look like? But people, they don't use daytimers anymore. That's old school. We're all computerized. Why in the world you want to wear that thing on your wrist? I want to get as far away from that thing as I can. But it controls our lives, doesn't it? I mean, it's a sad day when I sleep between my cell phone and my wife. Isn't that pitiful? I can cut the phone off. Hey. Oh, no. You guys, y'all not going to pin that one on me. Y'all ought to be ashamed of yourselves where your mind is right now. I ain't cut my throat. What are you talking? I didn't commit myself. Y'all the one brought it up. I didn't bring it. I love every word that comes out of my wife's mouth. Moving on. Unbroken relationships. Ooh. Here we go emotionally. How many of you got unbroken relationships? You got people in life you hate? Preacher, if you knew them, you'd hate them too. Well, they're dead. How much problem are they still causing you even though they're gone? because you've never forgiven them. They don't deserve to be forgiven. Find that in the scriptures. Who in this room hasn't been wrong somewhere in life? You hold grudge, look for ways to get revenge. You hear a report about somebody, it's like, that's so sad. But in your heart, you're thinking, they deserve that. Hey, friends, let me tell you something. When you're constantly moving and allowing yourself to be moved with negative thoughts and feelings about, and sometimes justifiable, amen? Because you get around and be around people enough, they'll give you a million different reasons. Hey, let me tell you something. You hang out with me long enough, I'll offend you somehow, some way. But you know what? Turnabout's fair play. Because we all have the ability to be offensive. Well, I haven't done anything. Really? Or is it just that nobody has sat down with you and had the guts to tell you the truth? If we're going to move on and we're going to go on in this thing, we've got to deal with the things that many times we don't want to deal with. And those unbroken relationships, or broken relationships, I guess I should say, are what we need to hit first. And I know it's not easy. I know that. Well, preacher, it's in the past. You're exactly right, but it's still back there. It might be in the past, but it's still present in your heart and life. You know what I've learned in 40 years of marriage this May? That some of the best times and best fellowship that we've had in our relationship is when I or my wife sat down in open honesty and humility and said these words, I am sorry, I was wrong, will you forgive me? I ain't saying it. Well, that's fine. But I can tell you this, you'll never move on in your spiritual walk with God because it'll always be an issue in his heart, and you'll always wanting to be quit. You're always wanting to quit and tuck tail and run. Physical sickness and weaknesses. You know, sometimes people come to me with situations that they're dealing with, and sometimes one of the first things I say this, when was the last time you had a physical? A physical. Yeah, when was the last time the doctor checked out your blood and went from head to toe to make sure that everything was percolating fine? Oh, I ain't got nothing to do with it. How many of you, when you're sick, you're not real likable? And aren't things compounded when you don't feel good? And Tylenol won't take care of it? And Aleve just ain't working? And every joint in your body from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet just feels like it's inflamed and nothing works? What about the lack of discipline? Oh, how many of us like discipline? I don't either. But it's good for us. It's good for us. Learning to deny my flesh and say no to my flesh. And some things can be very profitable. Another reason for fainting is not being saved, not knowing the Lord. Oh, preacher, I've known the Lord all my life. No, you've known about the Lord all your life. You see, there's a difference between knowing about him and knowing him. My Bible says that even the devil believes, and he even takes it to a point where he trembles. I knew there was a God for 21 years, but I was more enthralled with myself than I was him. And when I got to a desperate state in life, which sadly to say that it got to that point, that I had to get to that point, but yet that was a good place to be, because I've often said, you're not going to get help until you get desperate, because desperate people get help. When you come to the end of your ability to help your situation and change you, then that's when God intervenes and puts before you an opportunity to respond to him. And it's nothing about religion, friends. It's all about a relationship with a man named Jesus that loves you. Well, I don't think he loves me. He's already proven that. He died on the cross for you, for you, for you, for you, for me. Because he knew that we were rotten to the core. As the Bible says, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not a just man that doeth good and sinneth not. We've all sinned. How many of you went this week and did not sin? That's why we are where we are. But I'm talking about personally asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life, admitting that you're a sinner, admitting to him that you desperately need him, and asking him to do something for you that you can't do for yourself. Hey, listen, I know people around here, you've got my spiritual birthday memorized. I've been here almost 15 years, and you can share my testimony better than I share it. I realize that. But there's some people here today, you need to understand where I've been. Because in 21 years, I ended up as a dope smoking, and Jared says, dope smoking, beer drinking, Harley ride. I said, that's me. Lost as lost could be. Had some religion, got baptized when I was 12. I knew about God, but I didn't know God. And buddy, when he pulled the blinders back and showed me, I was horrified. With the selfishness and pride and indifference, and how I cared about nobody but me. And when I came to the realization of how much God loved me and how much he wanted to change my life, I took off of the cross. I said, I'll do whatever it takes to get Jesus in my life because I'm desperate. 21 years old, anything I want, brand new Harley, brand new pickup truck, I had anything. But yet I'm crying myself to sleep because I'm sick of life. You didn't think I'd jump at a chance to get something different? I did. And buddy, I took off of the cross and took off for Jesus. And I simply said, Lord, my life's a mess. You talk about quitting? Yeah. I was ready to quit. What did I have to live for? Nothing. And I said, my life's a mess. And I said, Lord, if there's any way you can do something with it, I give you back what's left over, and I'm asking you to come into my heart and change me. Boom. Instantly. I didn't see angels and fireworks, but something happened in my heart, friends. And I've never been the same since November 17, 1977. Now, I've had challenges. I got a broken down vehicle sitting at McDonald's in Alta Vista. It's called car and dog colliding in the middle of 29. Tyler, you guys got some business this week, so... Yeah, I got problems. My washing machine breaks down. I mean, everything on planet Earth happens to me just because I'm a Christian. Hey, listen, I'm not void of those things. There's plenty of reasons for fainting. What are some reasons not to faint? And someone said, don't stop when you're tired. Stop when you're done. Don't stop just because you get tired, but stop when you're done. I don't know that when that day, people say, well, when are you going to retire? I don't know. How do you retire from a calling? I hope that doesn't depress any of you. You think if I live 100, I'll still be the pastor here. I'm not planning on staying that long. But one of the reasons we shouldn't faint in the midst of this, friends, is because we need to preserve the glory of God. Amen. I can't tell you what it does to my heart just to share those words. And you think, well, after 40 years, haven't you gotten used to it? Yeah, I've gotten used to it. But I'm going to tell you what, it still brings me to tears when I think of God loving me enough to change me. He didn't have to, but he did. And I want to do everything that I can to preserve what he's done for me. Not only do I have children and a wife and grandkids that are watching my life, I have churches, three different churches, I still pastor people in Tennessee. I still pastor people in Maryland. People that still call me, Pastor, what do I do? How do I handle this? I'll always be their pastor. I'll always be your pastor. Because that's just how it goes. We need to preserve the glory of God because of what God's done for you. Secondly, another reason not to faint is because of the souls of men. You know that people are watching every one of us. They're watching your lives. Well, I don't think anybody watches me. Well, you used a word there that it suggests in the word think. Because you would be shocked to find out how many people are watching your life. I mean, I've had people over 40 years that would come up and say, you know, I watched every move you made. I listened to the things that you said. And people will watch you. People are watching you. So it's important because, as I heard years ago, your life is the only Bible that some people will read. And if that be the truth, then what are you showing them? Not only for the glory of God, the souls of men, but to reap the good of what you've sown. I have a great appreciation for these farmers. God bless their hearts. I see them out there toiling in those fields. I thought it used to really be rough until I found out that they have air-conditioned cabs and these pressurized seats, you know, and they got CD players and all this fancy stuff and radios. Now they're coming out with tractors that are fully computerized where you just push a button and it goes through the field by itself. And I'm thinking, what are you doing while you're setting up in that thing it's doing it? But I still have appreciation for them. Because God bless them, they got to deal with weather. Amen. And some will call and say, preacher, will you pray for a sun over here? And will you pray for rain over here? I'm like, oh, man, rain on this field, sun on that field. But listen, you're not going to get anything out of the ground unless you put something in. Nothing's going to come up unless you put something in. And some of you have made some investments over the years that are worth preserving. The Bible does say that we will reap what we've sown. Now, if you have sown corruption, then what you're going to get in return is corruption. But if you've sown spiritually, then the Bible says that you're going to reap spiritually. You're going to reap the blessings. It's just like what I say about giving. Hey, there's no way possible that you can outgive God, and God will bless you immensely. And sometimes it's not always, the return is not always in money. Sometimes it's in other ways. And yes, God can load your wagon down if he so chooses, but he knows that for some of us, it's not good to have a whole bunch of money because it'd kill us if we had it. I've been praying I win the lottery. That'd be the worst thing in the world happened to you. You'd be so backslidden out of church down on Myrtle Beach or in the Bahamas somewhere laid back. James 5:7 said, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. What are some ways we keep from fainting? I like this little statement. By perseverance, the snail made it to the ark. By perseverance, the snail made it to the ark. Somebody said that Noah was a great man of faith because he had two termites on the ark. Just saying. But what are some ways to keep from fainting? Number one, renew your purpose. What's your reason for existence? Why are you still here? Why do you come to church today? What's God saying to your heart right now and decisions that you need to make for this upcoming year where you need to really do some defining in your life from the youngest to the oldest? You ever stop and ask that question, God, why you leave me here? When I got saved, I thought, man, wouldn't it be cool as soon as you say the sinner's prayer that you went out of here and went to heaven? Wouldn't that be neat? I thought, boy, that'd be ideal.
But that didn't happen. You know why? Because there again, God has got a purpose. He has a mission in your life. For everyone in this room, He has a purpose for your life. Well, preacher, I don't have any gifts and abilities. You don't have to have gifts and abilities. You know, I've learned over the years, hey, make yourself available. That's what He wants. I mean, look at the Scriptures. Man, didn't God use some people that were just common everyday laborers? Didn't He use a multitude of different people and their station in life? Wasn't it different? Some of you have never been challenged on that level to say, God, what is my purpose in life? I never thought about that. Is it to be a plumber, electrician, or a doctor, or a lawyer, or a preacher, or a missionary? What is my purpose? You ask that question and match that with the dream that you've got on your heart. You know, I think it's important for you and I to dream dreams and believe God that He's going to do things. John Wooden, who was one of the most successful basketball coaches for UCLA years ago, said, don't give up on your dreams or your dreams will give up on you. What are some things that you really want to accomplish in life that God is putting in your heart? And I believe that God works in the areas of your desires. If you could go do thus and such right now, what would it be? Let me ask you a question. Why do you live in such a frustrated state if you're not happy doing what you're doing? Go do what you want to do. Get on your face and say, God, what is my purpose in life? And whatever that purpose is, then secondly, you reevaluate your priorities. I can tell you exactly what my number one priority in life. My number one priority in life is my relationship with the Lord. My number two relationship is, and I'm going to be working on that for a few days, is with my wife. Y'all pray for me. Well, what about the church? We'll get to you in a minute. My number three relationship and priority in life is to my children and grandchildren. Notice I said my children and grandchildren. I didn't say my grandchildren and my children, but my children and my grandchildren. Got to keep them in right order. And then there's the church. Well, we don't pay you to be fourth in the lineup, preacher. Can I tell you something? If I don't take care of the first three, I don't have a ministry with you. Because I'm a failure if I don't concentrate on those three. Now, if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, the best thing you can do is tar and feather me and kick me out of town. I had a man one time, he came to work for us. He said, just off the whim, he said, what do you want me to do? I said, two things I want you to do. Number one, I want you to love the Lord. And number two, I want you to love your wife and your family. He said, that's it? I said, that's it for right now. Keep that before you. Sometimes you got to go back and look at your priorities. You see, some of you have forsaken the Lord. And that's why you're wanting to quit. Because you've given up on God. All kind of things happen when we get our priorities out of whack. We have child-centered homes, which that was never God's intention. God bless you, ladies, but you know what? Some of you ladies are more married to your children than you are your husband. That's not costing anything extra. Now, it might make you mad as a hornet, but that's the truth. You wonder why your marriage is failing? Because you don't care about your husband. Well, he don't care about me. It works two ways. Works two ways. You got to make the adjustments. And some of you got to get tough with you. I'm no one's like to quit jobs, turn your back on professions. Just go follow God. If God says, listen, this is what I want you to do, and this is your reason for existence, and this is your purpose, then I want you to put your priorities in order, and let me have a part in that. Give me first place. And give Him first place. You evaluate your priorities in life, and then you make the adjustments that need to be made. You know what? Some of you in this room need to get rid of the job that consumes you on a daily basis, because you're more married to your job than you are the Lord and your family.
Preacher, I've got to make a living. I know that. But you got to evaluate who your God is. Sometimes we think making a living is paying for all our toys and trinkets. My wife never worked outside the home when we had kids. Oh, ain't you something? No, I'm just saying that was a decision that we made. She has a college education, and she could have worked outside of the home, but we felt like that we could live on one salary and we could make an investment in our children. Now, I didn't get up in the pulpit and push that and promote it, because that might not be good for you. But it was good for us. And we felt comfortable with that. I drove old cars. I wore shoes till they got holes in the bottom of them. Thank God for cardboard, amen? Except when it rained. Get your priorities straight. And I like this when you make the proper adjustment. And here it is. Believe God. I mean, come on, people. How many of you in this room have got a burn to see God do something supernatural in your life and through your life, that before your very eyes you see God do that which only He can from a supernatural state? Some of you are living just according to old status quo. And when is somebody going to kick out of the cave and say, listen, preacher, for me and my house, we're going to serve God. I don't care what it costs. And let me remind you that it doesn't cost you to serve God. It pays to serve Him. Now, and I can tell you, I have my pity parties just like anybody else does. I have my times of giving God the report, just like anybody else would. Sometimes I'd like to sleep in on Sunday morning. Sometimes I just like to go fishing. And the list. I'm affected by the list just like you are. For some reason, last year was a tough year. I don't know why. And I was kind of dreading the turn of 2020. We were driving down the road the other day. My daughter played a song for me, or just played it. You ever had those times you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you feel conviction in your heart and the steering wheel becomes an altar? I was crying so uncontrollably I could hardly drive. And I had my sunglasses on. You know, you got to be cool. You don't want the tears to run down under the sunglasses and somebody see you crying. Mine were going, because God was convicting my heart with this song, and I want you guys to listen to it. The lyrics are going to be up there. Now, some of you old timers or close to old timers, you're not going to be too excited about the music. And I know some of you are going to say, I couldn't understand a word they were saying. But that's why we're putting the words up here. But I'd like for you, somebody, to play that song for us. Yep.
Video.
Don't do that to me, Jacob.
Ahead. Who knows how This road will be hard, but we win in the end, simply because of Jesus in us. It's not if, but when. So take joy in the journey, even when it feels long. Oh, find strength in each step, knowing heaven is cheering you on. We are almost there, brother, and one thing. Son of a burden, we'll be gone. With all your strength, sister, remind us that the Lord keep blessing us. We are almost there, almost there, almost there. Still more to come when our flesh and our bone are no longer between. But we are right now and where we're meant to be. Where all that's been lost is made whole again. These tears and this pain no longer exist. No more. I feel we're running as fast as we can. Cause it's our second world. Almost home.
Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not. My prayer with that steering wheel in my hand was, God, I'm going to re-up the 2020. I'm excited about the new year. I don't know what it's going to hold. I ain't planning on checking out. And you might be young and here today, but I'm here to tell you that life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Because, friends, you don't know that you have tomorrow. The decision that God's moving you to make today needs to be made today, because you might not have it, the opportunity tomorrow. And to preserve the glory of God and to impact people and make an impression upon people, there's a lot that's hinging on your decision today. You're going to go out of here the same way you came in? Or are you going to turn to the one that can change you and do something for you? Are you going to put away your griping and complaining and change your critical, fault-finding spirit to one of prayer and belief and trusting God to be supernatural in the midst of whatever you're dealing with? Or are you going to go out here the same way you came in? Are you going to look at 2020 as an opportunity, or are you going to look at it in drudgery? I can't make those decisions for you. But coming up 95, 70 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour. Yep. I said, I'm back in. What about you? Do you need to come this morning and gather around this altar and say, Lord, I'm going to re-up because I understand I'm almost home. And it's no sense in me throwing in the towel now because I've made such a deep investment. And I'm back in. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know how God's speaking to you. But the invitation is very simple. Just do what God tells you to do. Preacher, he's speaking to me about surrendering my life. Well, surrender it. What does that mean as far as my future? I don't know. My Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He's always gone before me and ordered my steps and told me what to do and showed me what to do. And I'm no respecter. I mean, I'm just as human as anybody else is. But there again, he's not looking at your abilities. He's looking for your availability. Avail yourself to him. Or the people here this morning that say, preacher, I'm not a Christian. I don't know the Lord. But I want to know in my heart that when I take my last breath according to the written word of God, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Preacher, I want to know purpose in life. Tired of just going through the motions and being aggravated and disgusted. I want there to be some peace and purpose. I don't know what God's put on your heart, but we're here to pray with you, to help you, to be of help to any of you in this room. Father, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you that we can be renewed in our heart, God, that you can give us what we don't have at times to keep on keeping on. Thank you for the attentiveness of people here today. Lord, I believe with all my heart you're speaking to somebody or somebody's in this room. May they make the adjustments. God, may they meet you on God level and allow you to do for them what they cannot do for themselves. And we're going to praise you and thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand as we sing?